Looking at a subject I think is pretty important today, pretty relative today to today's world and our churches. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. God says, Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Drop down to verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day, the privilege that we have to be here. Lord, I am just a man and not capable of doing a great job at putting your word forth. That's why we call on you, because your Holy Spirit needs to take your word and use it in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, you're very clear, and I agree with what your word says. Without you, we can do nothing. So we ask that your Holy Spirit would work on our behalf. Help us to lay aside what we've been busy with and to focus on what your word has to say, to be open, to be willing to hear it, to be changed by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was raised in a religious family, a Catholic family, went all through Catholic school, had all that training from first grade. I went to St. Patrick's until eighth grade. In ninth grade, I went to Bishop Kenrick and graduated. My class had 530 seniors graduating. It was a very large Catholic school. Although I was raised in a Catholic school, the music that I listened to was very, very wicked. I listened to rock bands and rock groups. I had those old CDs, you know, the big ones everybody laughs about now. How many of your parents have those, right? Shows how old your parents are, right? And, you know, I listened to that stuff, and not only did I listen to it, but I was hooked on it. It had a grip on my soul like nothing else. It was almost addicting that I had to listen to that kind of music. I remember one early morning walking to get tickets for a rock concert. I left my house at 2 or 3 in the morning and walked through a blizzard in order to line up to get tickets for some rock group. I would travel down and I would go down to Philadelphia and hear groups like Aerosmith and Bad Company and all of these groups that now I realize are wicked. When I was at those concerts, I remember all of the thumping music and what it did to people as they listened to that thumping music. And I would see at the Spectrum in Philadelphia fights that would break out while the concert was going on. After the concert, I would walk out into the parking lot there in Philadelphia and see over here was a fight and over there was a fight and these guys were fighting. And you say, why was all that going on? Because there is something about the music that generates that in people. I don't believe music is neutral or amoral. I believe that music has a powerful effect in our lives. Fortunately, a man named Cass Reeves came by the house where I was at and went around, and you know him, brother, and you were at his place when he led you to the Lord, and he led me to the Lord, and we stood outside that night on Spruce Street in October, a cold fall night, and I bowed my head and I prayed and I said, God, I need you as my Savior. I believe you died for me. You were buried and you rose again, and please save my wretched soul. And God immediately changed my life. For the first time in my life, I knew that God could hear my prayers. I used to pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. I can quote all the prayers that I prayed, but finally now I prayed to God and I knew for the first time in my life that God heard my prayer. He made a change and He made a difference. I had all of this rock music, as long as this piano, all of those gigantic CDs, and I knew not only were the words wrong, but the music was not fit to listen to for a Christian. And nobody showed me that. Nobody told me, get rid of that stuff. Nobody came to me and said it's wrong. I knew from the Holy Spirit of God I had to get rid of it. And I did exactly what they did in this church at Ephesus. In Acts chapter 19, they gathered their garbage together and they burned it. I went down by the Schuylkill River at a campsite along the Schuylkill River and piled up me and another Christian and set a match to all that stuff and burned it, just like they burned their old wretched stuff in Acts 19. God showed me that music was wrong. What amazes me, is that more and more there are Christians and churches and pastors who are going to that kind of music that God led me from. God led me from that music, and now I see it's the thing to do is listen to contemporary Christian music with the same beat that was in the rock music that I used to listen to. I read an article last spring that broke my heart from a pastor who was an independent Baptist pastor who used to be of our position, I would say, no longer is. And in the article, he quoted from the album Thrive of Casting Crowns songs. And he quoted from the Thrive music, the Thrive song. And I read the words, and some of them I just felt were not appropriate, but yet the music, I'll tell you what I did. I sat there and I said, I'm going to check this out. And sitting on the couch in my living room, I went on YouTube and I watched the performance of Casting Crowns singing certain songs with my wife beside me. I didn't do it here at school because I'd have to give myself the merits for doing that, so I didn't do it here, but I did it at home. And as I watched this group, remember, hon, we watched that and we sat there and we analyzed it. And there's no way. There's just no way that that's appropriate for Christians. You say, are the words all bad? Of course not. I read the words. They're not all bad, but the music is. And I would suggest this to you before you get mad at me. I remember years ago being a youth pastor in a church and preaching about music and watching a kid almost explode. You ever see somebody get mad when you're talking about music? Yeah, you know, look, just hear me out, okay? It's Monday morning. Keep your brain open. Keep your heart open, okay? And we're going to talk about the music side of things. You know, when God tells us, you know what made a difference with me? The Bible talks about having, listen, a new song. Both testaments. Now listen, I don't want to talk just about groups and all. I want to talk to you about Bible. What does the Bible say about music? The Bible talks in both testaments about having a new song. In the Hebrew, it's Shir Chadash. Let's all say that together. Shir Chadash. Okay, let's learn some Hebrew today, right? Shir like in a wind shear, and then Chadash, get the guttural in there, okay? Ready? Let's say it together. Shir Chadash. It's a new song in Hebrew. It refers to something that is brand new. Like nothing you had before. Coming from the old life to something new. The Old Testament is full of talking about a new song. And it's not just the words, it's in the music as well. In the Greek, it's the Greek word kainos. It means something totally new. I was looking at the meaning of the word this morning, and kainos has the idea of something totally new. Not hand-me-downs. How many here had hand-me-down clothing? Raise your hand. Man, everybody, that scares me. You poor people, okay? So everybody had hand-me-downs. How many here? No, I was going to ask who's wearing a hand-me-down, but I don't want to do that, okay? But you know what? You know what hand-me-downs are. How many like to go and get something new, like a new suit or a new dress, right? You know what that is? Well, guess what? When it says new song, it's not something hand-me-down from the world. It's something totally new. It doesn't mean, listen, new song in Scripture does not mean something contemporary that was just done. That's not the comparison. The comparison of new song is something that I had there. I had something in my old life, but now I have something new. By the way, if God talks about a new song that we're supposed to have, that indicates that there's something old we're not supposed to have by simple reason. And so what we need to do is be following God and His Word by using spiritual music. First, because it's a command. Look at verse 1. We're in chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You know, in context here, you see the word therefore. Look at it, verse 1. Be ye therefore. It's referring back to something. Look at chapter 4, verse 32. What's it say? It says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So here's the deal. Verse 1 of chapter 5 is contingent on what happened in chapter 4. And because in chapter 4 we are saved, I'm forgiven, now I need to do what? A command here. Look at the command in verse chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God. It's an imperative. Here's what he's saying. You're my child. Look at what he says. Look at verse 1 again. As dear children. You're my child. You must follow me. Not the world. Not what you think. Follow me. Verse 1 says, be a follower of God, and everything to follow tells how to do it. And so when we get down to verse 18, let's look at that. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you're following God, you ought to want, listen, you ought to have an open mind toward what God says about music. The Bible has a lot to say about music. Many Christians, you know what they do? Here's what I hear. Here's what I hear people say and how they tell, and here's what maybe some of you do. I don't use that music because I don't like that music, and I use this music because I like that music. That is not the way a Christian should approach music. It's not about what you like or what you don't like. You know, you're a great group of students. In the testimonies we heard today, what a blessing. I had a young man from the school here in my office this morning with such a sincere heart for God, pouring out his heart that he wants to do right by God. That's great. The reason many of you are here is because you want to live on God's road. You've tried to be pure because you know this book talks about purity. You try to abstain from all appearance of evil because you know this book says to do that. And all of a sudden, when it comes to music, it's, well, I like that. Or I like this. That's not the right criteria. It needs to be God's word. Let me ask you a question. Is the criteria right to base on, I like that? You know, there are some things I like that I don't do. Right? Let me give you an example. I'm going to tell you in Hebrew what I really like. See if anybody can guess. I like Glida chocolate. You know chocolate. The chocolate is chocolate, okay? Chocolate's something. I like Glida chocolate. In Hebrew, I would say, Ani ohev gadol Glida chocolate. I love a lot of what? Chocolate ice cream. You know what I like? I like a huge chocolate milkshake. I do. I'm not talking about a little Wendy's Frosty. I'm talking about in a metal can, right? You know what I mean? The old-fashioned style. I don't mean with cheap ice creams from some store, you know, like their own brand. I mean Häagen-Dazs or Breyers or something that's got some real fat in it, right? And you're going to put that in there, right? You understand? Are you with me? I don't mean 1% milk, 2% milk. You know what I mean? Vitamin D, whole milk, brother. Amen. You pour that in there. You get some syrup in there. And you mix that together. I mean a big can. And then you pour. And if you're ever in a restaurant. I was with Dave Bond one time. We were in a restaurant. And Dave Bond asked for the rest of the can. I'm not exaggerating. He said, ma'am, can I have the rest of the can? She said, excuse me. He said, well, you may. He said, you're not going to throw that out, are you? She said, well. He said, I'll take it. She put the metal can right on the table with us. You pour that in there in a big old glass, and it doesn't look half vanilla, half chocolate. It looks chocolate. Amen? 1,000 calories. Now, I'm going to tell you, I have an appetite for that. How many are with me? Yeah, I'm there, okay. I'm with you, right? But I have not had a big chocolate milkshake like that for a long time. My wife likes a Wendy's Frosty. Again, that's as far as I go. I would love to have a 1,000-calorie chocolate milkshake every day. I don't do it. I choose not to do it because I know it would be bad for me. So the argument of, I like that music, should not fly with you. That's not biblical. That's not a biblical approach to music. And so here, we need to be following God by using spiritual music. First, we've seen His command. Let's look at the contrast of music. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking to yourselves. Who is that? That's Christians using Christian music. Speaking to yourselves. Obviously, this is not the music of the world. Now, Satan has done a great job at deceiving people on this issue of music. And the reason is because he, listen, get this, ready? Satan was well versed in music before he ever fell. Let's go look at it. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah chapter 14. Let's look at Isaiah 14 and look with me just a couple of verses here at verse 9. This is describing Lucifer and his fall. And he used music in heaven before the fall. Look at verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Look at verse 11. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. That's the Hebrew word, nabel. The Hebrew word nabel for vial means a stringed instrument. What they would do, they would take from an animal skin, from a sheep skin, or from a sheep gut. They would take the material and they would make strings. And in heaven, it was beautiful. But listen, doesn't it make common sense that when Satan fell, he would also, the music became fallen? Everything about the devil was corrupted when he fell. It would seem reasonable to me to think that he would use music as a main medium. You know, if you study this word in the Old Testament, it's used a lot with this type of... This instrument was used to worship God in the temple. But in Amos, the instrument is also used to worship Molech and false gods. And God said, I do not want, if you go read Amos, he says, I don't want that music. That means, look up here, this piano right here can be used for good and evil. Because music is not neutral. It's either good or evil. And so what does God tell us here? We'll go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We need to know what spiritual music is. And in order to do that, we need to go to God's Word. Some people say, well, I like that song. Doesn't matter what you like. There's things I like I need to say no to, right? And especially with music. Here's what you ought to do. Does God approve? Does God approve of my music? You know, I'll tell you some good books. Here's some good books you ought to get. The Battle for Christian Music by Tim Fisher. This one's in the bookstore. The Spiritual Song by Mike Foster. This one. Little, but really good. I've read these. Why I Don't Listen to Contemporary Christian Music by Shelley Hamilton. Good book. I'm going to show you the best book that you can buy on music. Don't tell me that your music's okay if you don't know what this book says about music. Is that reasonable? that we should know what the Bible says about music before we try to say what's right and what's wrong about music. And so we need to be following God by using spiritual music. We see the command to contrast. Look at the control. Look at verse 18. He says, and be filled with the Spirit. Isn't it interesting right here in this text? Watch the text. Isn't it interesting that the first thing he talks about after being filled with the Spirit is music? You see that? Be filled with the Spirit. And then verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Much of the sovereign grace and Getty music has a beat to it that is inappropriate for Christians. Okay? Verse 19 says the music needs to be from Christians. Look at it. Speaking to yourselves. The music needs to be by Christians, from Christians, for Christians, not from the world. If I study these groups, I'll tell you what I see. Some of the women vocalists. By the way, there's three aspects I see to music. Let me stop and say, time out. You ready? You say, why are you preaching this? You're not a music guy. You're right. I can't sing. That's why I preach on music, because I can't sing it. I've been a pastor for 23 years. I have always preached about music, because if a pastor doesn't preach about music, he's not preaching the whole counsel of God. And the problem we're seeing in churches today, as I hear over and over, as I heard yesterday, a man telling me how heartbroken he was about a church that just switched their Bible version of music. By the way, they do go in tandem. He's talking about a church that just switched that, and he said, and he was at a church a couple weeks ago that had standing room only. He told me, he said he had to go to a church and they got there an hour early. And I'm talking about a big church. And they lay out their Bibles and their bulletins. You know why? Because so many people have left the churches that have gone to the contemporary because they know what this book says and they know that's wrong. And this church he was telling me about has standing room only. They're going to have to build a building because they got so many people leaving those coming to that church. Which is, by the way, a good thing. You know, there's three aspects I see to music in a song. One is the music itself. The other is the words itself. But then there's also another aspect, and that's how the words are sung. And one thing I did, as I watched and analyzed some of these people that sing these songs, it was amazing to me how sensual the music could be. Like this one woman, she sings this song, in Christ alone, my hope is found. Very breathy. Very breathy. Let me illustrate that for you. How many ladies got engaged this summer? Raise your hand. Raise the hand with the rock on it, okay? Raise that hand up high, okay? There we go. I'm going to go down here. I need to talk to them, okay? All right, listen. Okay, raise your hand up real high, right? You are right there. Be proud. I got engaged. Is it only the two right here? Okay, all right. Stephanie, who did you get engaged to? Where's Johnny at? Where's Johnny? Johnny's in the back. Johnny, we heard your testimony of what you did. You are the most romantic man on campus, okay? I heard that story, okay? Stephanie, you were happy. Where was that at? Where did that take place at? Nova Scotia. It was up there in beautiful Canada. Sunset, right? On the water. Is that right? At the beach, right? It's beautiful. And your man, did he get down on one knee? He asked you for your life in this future, right? And you said, yes. All right, very good. She's saying it again, Johnny. She must love you, okay? Now, what would you do, Stephanie? You're from Canada, right? You live there. Okay. All right. What would you do if a girl came up to Johnny and said, hi, Johnny, and started talking in breathy tones? I want to know what you would do with this girl. And that's, listen, and I'm the dean of students, and I'm saying there's no demerits here. You can do whatever. Okay? I want to know what you're doing to this girl that's talking that way to your man. It wouldn't be pretty, okay? You can trust this girl is going to whoop up on that girl today, right? Here's my point. We would never tolerate such talking in regular conversation, but we tolerate the sensual sounds in music. It's not right. You can't do that. You cannot listen to sensual sounds and singing and it not affect you. Right? Way to go, Stephanie. I'm glad you were here. Okay, let's go on. Verse 18. Watch what it says. Be not drunk with wine. Look at the last phrase. But be filled with the Spirit. Finally, and some of you are glad it's finally, by seeing the contrast or the content, look at verse 19 and we'll be done. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Music is a language all its own, right? Music should have an understandable rhythm. God created you with rhythm. Where is the rhythm in you? It's organized. The rhythm is organized. The Bible says that God said, let everything be done decently and in order. And when God created rhythm, He created it in an orderly fashion. And every song has rhythm. But the rhythm needs to be orderly, and if the rhythm is not orderly, it's in violation of the Word of God, because God says, let all things be done decently and in order. Does that make sense? Rock music does not have an orderly rhythm. Boom, 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 boom. It's not orderly. It sounds violent. That's why when I went to those concerts, during and after the concert, people are breaking out into fights. That's why the girls who listen to this sensual music are so immoral today. The music is not helping them. If you're a youth pastor major, or you're going to work with youth, you better understand that. And so God wants us to use the right kind of music. Rock music, sensual music, pop music will often emphasize too many beats, emphasize wrong beats, and I suggest that you go study about that. Our music should portray a distinction from the world. Look at what it says in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves, Christian music should be by Christians, for Christians. It's not from the world. The church I was saved in brought in a group, a local group, to perform. They were not saved. And when that local group got up on that platform and began to perform in that church and that pastor was in violation of this verse. You can't have unsaved people. The music is not for to reach the lost. Music is for Christians to exhort Christians. Okay? And our music ought to portray a distinction. Many of the, like the Rick Warrens of the world, you know what they say? They say, oh, I've read The Purpose-Driven Church numerous times. I know what the book says. He says, we need to use the music. Here's what you do. You go into an area, you find out what kind of music they're using. If it's a one type of community, they're using rap music. You figure out, hey, what's the wind of that music in that area? And then you got to use that music in order to reach the people. If they like rock music in that area, I'm telling you what the book says. If they like rock music in that area, you got to perform rock music to reach those people. Maybe if they're upstream yuppies, they use pop music. You got to use pop music in order to reach those people. All of that is in violation of this verse. The Bible never, do you hear that? Never says that we use music to reach people. Preach the word. How shall they hear without a preacher? Let's be clear on what needs to be used. He says here, look at it in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, referring to the Old Testament hymn book, and hymns, songs that honor God. Watch this. And spiritual songs. That is songs that puts forth spiritual truth. Now let me stop on that. Songs that put forth spiritual truth. Is that important? Yes, it is. Why? Listen, be careful what songs you listen to and what they say. There's a thing called New Calvinism. Brother Spencer, you're acquainted with New Calvinism. And New Calvinism is trying to use music and pop music as the medium to draw people into their message. Now, old raw Calvinism isn't good at getting people. But the music is what they're using. Keith Getty said this, "What we sing becomes the grammar of what we believe." Who's the leading Calvinist in the world today? Leading Calvinist. Leading, number one Calvinist. It's John Piper, right? We would all agree with that. The number one Calvinist. This is what John Piper says. "They are not going to embrace your theology unless it makes their hearts sing. They are using the medium of music to try to reach the younger generation." I got a quote. I want you to write this down because I wrote it and it's inspired by me. Write this down. "The music is the bait. The music is the bait to lure the younger generation into the trap of their theology. The music is the bait to lure the younger generation into their theology." And that is what's going on today. And CCM, it's amazing. By the way, think about this. It's funny that, let's go back to Mercy Me or Casting Crowns. It's funny that the liberal churches of the world are using the very same music that the churches that say they preach the Bible are using. I just find that interesting. I don't know if I said this, but in my study, if you go, all you got to do is go look at their websites. I looked at the websites of several groups, and you know what they say? This is crazy. I can't believe they are wide open about this. They're like, I'm not talking about words. We got our music by going, and then they start naming lost pop rock groups that they went to find out how to use the music that appeals to people. And I'm telling you, these groups articulate that, and it's like we're all going, huh, duh, what? And I'm telling you, they say, we go to the lost world to find out how to play the music that we're going to play in contemporary Christian music, and that's what they're putting forth, and we're all going, hey, that's great, hey, yeah, that's great, and they're getting it, and they say they get it from the world, and God says, don't. And you like it because you just like it. Well, I like that. Well, I like chocolate milkshakes. The best my wife will give me is a little Frosty, the small one, like two spoonfuls, you know what I mean? Have you been there? The child's one. You know the little guy? The child's cup. It's not her fault. It's me. I do that. So, anyway, you know what? I believe that missionaries, listen, if you're a missions pastor, or you're going to be a missionary, Pastor Jay, they need to know about music, brother. Because it's not just an issue in America. Pastors, evangelists, all of us should be preaching about the issue of music. The sermon of music does not come by your feelings. The sermon in music comes by a study of God's holy word. And you should do it. I recommend get these books and get your nose in this book. Right? Does your music honor God? You know what Bach said? John and Sebastian Bach said this. Great musician, great composer said this. The aim of all music is the glory of God. Would you agree with that? I mean, can we all agree on that? The aim of music is to glorify God, right? I have a close friend, a dear friend of mine. We texted yesterday together. And he told me the story when he was first saved. He went to hear this guy sing. And it was all about this performance this Christian guy was going to sing. And so the guy gets up and it was like unbelievable. The guy could hit notes that he could not hit. The guy could, that he could hit. I mean, just great. The guy was a great performer. And my friend told me, he said, one of the last songs that he did, Dr. Scovel, he sang "To God Be the Glory." And he said, this is the way he did. And at the end, he was hitting these notes, and man, people were just enthralled, and they couldn't believe how great of a voice this man had. And at the end, he sang, "Great things he has done." Aren't you glad I don't sing, right? And he says, "Great things he has done." And everybody applauded, and they just stood and they applauded. And the guy thanked him, and he thanked him, and he actually took a bow. My friend said, I couldn't believe it. The guy took a bow for his performance of To God be the glory. You know, music is serious business. It's something we ought to know. It's something we ought to study. If you've not studied this book about music, then you have no room to talk until you know what it says. And then, and you know what? I like it is not the answer. I've studied it. That's the right answer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray you'll help us and guide us in the area of music, Lord. Lord, I pray that if there's a student here today, they've not studied your word, but they like the wrong music. Lord, help them to see that the music they listen to will wear down. It will wear down their spiritual armor. Help them to see that it will pull them away, not to you. Help them to see that, Lord, my heart is not to be hard on them, but to show them, Lord, what I learned and what I've studied. Help us all, Lord, to have an appreciation for good spiritual music. Help us to be careful about sensual music and music with the wrong beat.